Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Live from the American Heart Association Paul Bear Bryant Awards Champions Luncheon, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
I need help. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in.
Oh, what are you talking about?
This is a confession.
Okay.
Shout out to the loopholes. If you listen, you are one. I need help from you. I need help from Figgy. I need help from anyone. What's the question I always ask? I live my life by it. It's the main question I ask whenever we present something on the air, whenever someone does something. What's the question I ask?
What is the payoff?
And I really need your help.
Okay.
And I need that question answered by you and Figgy after I present what Deshaun Watson's legal team presented yesterday following the HBO Sports piece with Bryant Gumbel. The piece itself, a couple of Watson accusers, it was really nothing new. Not to minimize it, but we had heard all this stuff. We'd heard from Ashley Solis before, so it was nothing new. And I anticipated we weren't going to hear from Deshaun Watson's legal team. However, at the conclusion of the piece, Bryant Gumbel comes on the screen. I'll let you hear it. This is what Bryant Gumbel said after the conclusion of the piece that aired yesterday on HBO.
Although Deshaun Watson and his legal team repeatedly declined our request to be interviewed as this story was being prepared, they asked at the 11th hour if they could still be heard. So yesterday, via remote, Soledad O'Brien spoke with one of Watson's attorneys, Leah Graham.
Okay, so they spoke to one of his attorneys.
Just bizarre.
And it was a last-second thing. They had to get it in. So I assume that maybe there would be some sort of payoff here. You just had to show your face. You had to present your side. Like I said, though, what I watched, it wasn't anything new. It wasn't anything that you couldn't have gathered. You could have gathered that information, whether it was Ashley Solis' original press conference, whether it was the testimony, whether it was the reports. Like, what we actually saw, like, it really wasn't anything new.
Well, just the response to Deshaun's contract might have been the only thing from the accuser's perspective.
Yeah, that was it. And it was brief. Yeah. It was just right at the beginning. Slap in the face is what they described it as. So Leah Graham of Hardin & Associates, the legal squad, she goes on, and this is the first thing that she says when she's being interviewed. And keep in mind, this wasn't just a random interview. This was something that they just had to get on the air, they being Deshaun Watson's legal team. This was the first of three answers that she gave.
Why would the public believe one man versus 22 different women?
Well, I think there's two answers to that. First, it's 22 women. It's one lawyer. There's only one lawyer who was willing to take these cases. And as we know from Ashley Solis' deposition, Mr. Busby was not the first, probably not even the second or third lawyer that she went to, but he was the only one to take her case. Why? Not because it had merit, but because he would use these cases to increase his social media following and, quite frankly, to get on shows like this one. And I would argue that the inquiry should be focused on Mr. Busby's conduct, not Deshaun. Because when you start looking into how we got to 22 cases, he went on social media immediately to create vague statements, vague allegations about behavior that needed to be stopped, and then solicited clients to say, call me. And they did.
This is the worst that Rusty Hardin & Associates has looked this whole time. They've had some wins. They've had some losses. But this is the worst they've looked.
In the public opinion battle.
Yes. And in my opinion, I don't think they've looked worse. Because first of all, you're like, oh, crap. You know, we got to go into chaos management mode. I just have a bad feeling. That's kind of what this looks like. They had a bad feeling about how this was going to be perceived. So, like, you know what? We've changed our mind. We want on. All right. Well, you can do a Zoom meeting. I mean, okay. And then you trot Leah Graham out there, and this is what she says. This is chaos management. It's sort of trying to deflect and diffuse what they felt was coming. And then by doing that, they basically say Tony Busby is organized this whole thing. It's so much not true that he's just doing it for his social media. How could you expect anybody to believe that?
And I'm not even saying whether it's true or not. I'm not saying whether Tony Busby loves truth, like loves attention or not. I'm just saying, like, did she really like pull things back when it came to the Deshaun Watson situation? Like, if you're watching that, like, did anyone watch that and say, oh, you know what?
Yeah.
Well, there's something there. No, it sounded silly. It looked goofy. And I don't understand why someone as smart as Rusty Harden would let that go. I honestly wonder, like, if maybe the less smart side of the Watson camp said, you know what, we really got to counter this. We got to counter this.
Yeah, that's
HBO
exactly
thing.
What I think happened.
Which is weird.
Kind of a panic mode.
But the attorney does work for the client. So if the client wanted to go out
that's
there and say
that's a possibility too.
That was the point. But if you are going to do that, then Rusty Harden should be the one to speak. It shouldn't be Leah Graham, because she couldn't have looked sillier, specifically on the second answer that she had in regards to only 3 out of 22 of the women having, quote, consensual sex.
Deshaun Watson has insisted that in these massages that he was looking for nothing other than professional services. But we know he did have sex with three women, right? Oral sex with two, vaginal sex with another. So how do you explain unintentionally ending up having sex with people who are giving you professional massages?
Well, in every massage, I will tell you he did go intending just for a professional massage. In only those three instances where sexual conduct occurred, consensual sexual activity, it occurred after the massage session had ended, and Mr. Watson has testified and is insistent that that sexual activity was initiated by the plaintiff in every single instance.
Okay.
Oh, boy. The what you're hinting at there is, well, these women were in it for that. Not victim blaming, so to speak, because it was consensual. But like, look,
no, it's not even victim blaming.
No, it's not.
She straight up says Deshaun Watson. Like
I just wanted a massage.
Like, because you got to be careful when you.
She
quote,
threw
quote,
herself
quote,
at me.
She literally said, "Yeah." She's literally saying he went in there just for a massage, yeah. And then basically that the women came on to him, yeah. And that's how he ended up having sex 3 out of 22 times.
Which disparages the whole industry again, and that's one thing that Ashley Solis talked about a lot, like why she wasn't, you know, why she was, you know, not necessarily. Just bolting out of there, she says, well, he wanted to hurt my business. I felt threatened is one of the other things that she said, because it was her industry. And so now you're like, you've got the attorney saying, look, these women are just throwing themselves at him. Man, that's a bad look. It was a bad call to all of a sudden reach out to HBO and say, yeah, we want on.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. So he just went in there going ho-hum, and then they ended up after the massage. Like, what do they say? Hey, what are you doing after this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, hey, what's up? So what do you got going on? And then Deshaun's just sitting there like, what are you doing? Like, this is weird. Like, this doesn't, like, this was the worst of the worst. And here was the final words from Leah Graham, who, man, I'm going to go back to the question I posed at the start of this for you and Figgy. Before we do, though, here's Leah Graham of Harden & Associates on HBO yesterday.
He said he has no regrets. Is that still true? He has no regrets?
As he testified in his depositions last week, yes, he has no regrets because he did nothing wrong. He did nothing wrong in these massages. And although, to your first question, how can he be innocent? I think the real question is, what evidence is there of any guilt? Two grand juries in two separate jurisdictions looked at these cases and found that there was no credible evidence that a crime had occurred. And I'll tell you, based on our civil investigation, our civil discovery, there is no credible evidence that Mr. Watson should be held civilly liable.
Here's the other thing that I think is weird. Like, I don't disagree with her, and I think it is very relevant that the forcible contact was not, there were no criminal charges filed. I think that's relevant. HBO covered that.
Yeah.
Like these are real journalists. Like they yeah. covered that. They even asked the accusers about it and asked them the tough question. So she's basically just summarizing what we already saw on HBO. Like this was presented by HBO. There wasn't like a clear agenda on it.
No.
They asked the questions. They presented those types of facts. So again, I go back to what I asked at the start of this. I want to get your take and Figgy's on this. What was the payoff for this? Why did at the 11th hour did Harden and Associates think that they needed to get on here? What was the payoff?
Well, the only obvious answer for me is the payoff was now he's working on the NFL suspension. Now Harden and Associates are working on the suspension, which is still part of their job. I mean, you know, Deshaun Watson hired him, you know, for the criminal case, for the civil case. And I guess now, you know, to be able to help him move on with his life with a minimal suspension, because – To all of a sudden, Rusty Harden comes, he was quiet for a while, and now he's all over the place. And now, you know, all of a sudden at the 11th hour, at the last minute, let's put Leah Graham on to start this narrative again, to kind of change the perception of what people might think of this. I think he's just working on the suspension, you know, like trying to limit it for Deshaun as much as he can.
If that's what they were trying to do, they made it worse.
They made it worse.
That's my point. Like,
yes,
if that's
did.
What they were trying to do, they made it worse. Figgy, what do you think the payoff was of this?
I agree with John, man. I think their whole purpose is that with this special coming out, I think they fear that he could be suspended the whole year. And so they trying to jump out in front to say, hey, maybe he's being, you know, targeted type thing. So I think this was a last minute ditch so he don't get suspended the whole year.
Yeah, and Landry, I mentioned this to you guys before the show. What this did to me, the whole HBO experience, you know, from both sides and everything, I think they kind of turned it into a Roger Goodell story all of a sudden. I mean, this is about Roger Goodell. How can anybody watch that stuff? Because they were believable. I don't think anybody can say they weren't believable. And they might not be telling the truth, but they were believable.
Yeah.
But this all of a sudden, and the fact that Rusty is campaigning so much, you know, for Deshaun Watson, even now when the civil case, he didn't have to say a dang thing about to HBO. He could just work on his civil case, right? And try to get him cleared there. I think this is a Roger Goodell story. How can he watch this? And how can he say, yeah, just two games, or we'll just, well, you know, time served and you know, all this other stuff. A lot of pressure on Roger Goodell after this last night.
Really, really, really strange play by Watson and really by Rusty Harden and Associates. I, you know, Rusty talked about the high five moments and all that type of stuff. There is no way that when he watched Leah Graham yesterday that they were giving high fives. That was really, really strange. And I just wonder, I really just wonder how a smart guy like Rusty Harden misplays something as much as he did last night on that. And we'll find out, because the NFL's decision, I think it's going to come this summer. Rusty said as much. Let's be honest, he talked to the NFL. I'm sure that came up.
Mm-hmm.
So the NFL is going to make their decision probably before training camp. So we should know in less than 2 months what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson. And why do Texans fans care? To all the, he's not here anymore, guys. Because the Texans have the Browns draft pick. And if Deshaun Watson's not on the field, the Browns could struggle. And Nick Caseria could be drafting earlier in the first round. Coming up, I want to defend the honor of something that has been so slandered that it's driving me nuts. What did the Wave ever do to you, and where the hell is Laramie Tunsil? Next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from the American Heart Association Paul Bear Bryant Awards Champions Luncheon. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Listen, if a kid wants to start the race, that's fine. Go ahead and do it. But if you're grown and doing it, sitting in your expensive seat behind the dugout, no, stop. Stop. Be better than that.
What did the Wave ever do to y'all? Why is the Wave such a polarizing thing? Of all the things wrong with baseball, of all the things wrong with crowds in Houston, if anything, my biggest complaint about crowds in Houston is they haven't been loud enough. Have you been to a Texans game lately?
Mm-hmm.
You've been to some of these Rockets playoff games back when the Rockets actually made the playoffs? Fans weren't even showing up till halftime. Even then, half the crowd was leaving at halftime or going on the concourse and drinking. Astros, nothing wrong with you guys. Except apparently you do the Wave a little bit, and Adam Spillane's pissed off about it.
They do the Wave every game that I've seen. Then
good.
Been to.
Do it.
Well, here's the issue, and I think I'm right on this. 713-572-4610. If you're going to do the Wave, do the Wave. You know?
There's too many people that are against it for whatever reason, making it impossible.
But I think, like,
they're the problem.
Either it became trite and old, and then people stopped doing it, or people stopped doing it because there was this kind of wave, no pun intended, of people who were tired of seeing it. Either way, it really should go away, if only because it's like, you see, like, maybe a quarter of the stadium doing it at most. It's either going to be cool, or it's going to be a weak attempt to do something cool.
Yeah, but why did that weak attempt become such, like, a big deal to where the Wave is like the thing that you hear constantly bitched about when someone goes to a baseball game, whether it's Pendergast, whether it's Spillane. Like, how did the Wave become a thing where people are just too cool to do the Wave? Of all the goofy stuff that people do at games, and there's a lot of things, goofy things that people do at games, like, I would take the Wave over this PA thing that the Texans do, where it's like, hey,
oh,
let's finish
sure
the guy's name.
That. Yeah, for
that's
sure.
That's arena football crap that they need to get rid of. JJ, what? Like that.
Yeah.
That's worse than any Wave. How did the Wave become the thing that just became extremely corny?
It just ran its course,
what
man.
What about the Kiss Cam?
The Kiss Cam is still
Kiss
solid.
Kiss Cam's dumb.
No, it's solid.
Kiss Cam's way dumber than the Wave.
Like, it's here's the best
about
way
the
I can
dot
put
race.
It.
What's so cool about the dot race?
No fad lasts forever, and it's a fad.
The wave is not a fad. The wave is a lifestyle. The wave is something that should be embraced. Look, 2 years ago, we couldn't even go to stadiums. Like, there should be nothing more beautiful, given what we had to go through a couple of years ago, where we couldn't even go to games and we couldn't even watch games on TV in full stadiums. The wave at this point, especially post-COVID, however you felt about it pre-COVID is one thing, but post-COVID, the wave should be one of the most beautiful things on TV to you or when you go to a game. You should be loving the wave and in the sight of thousands of fans uniting and making some noise more than you ever have. There should be a newfound appreciation for the wave.
It's the ice bucket challenge.
No, it's not. It's been going for like 40 years.
No. The ice bucket challenge for about, 6 months was like, hey, that's pretty cool.
Zero months.
No, yeah. it was big.
0 months.
And a lot of people were doing it. Celebrities were doing it. You know, just regular people raising money for charities and all this other stuff. And everybody was all in. It was the ice bucket challenge and all these other challenges. Remember planking, in various places? It ran its course, man. Let it go. Let it die.
I think it's just an example of, like, old people ruining experiences for kids.
No, not at all.
Because I remember my first wave as a kid. Like, you see how excited the kids are.
Well, you're going to have to be more specific than
that. Well, there's all these old people that are bitching about the wave and complaining about the wave. And there's all these kids that are upset because they want to see the wave happen. And now, all of a sudden, for whatever reason, I guess because one guy said it and it became the cool thing to say and do and all that, now all of a sudden we're not even getting waves going and it looks even worse. Just do the wave. Do it a couple times. Sit down. Make some noise.
Remember, it's
better than sitting there on your damn phone. You got Sean Pendergast sitting there complaining. Astros fans are trying to get some noise going on, and Sean Pendergast is sitting there looking at his phone complaining about the wave while the wave's trying to get done. Why don't you let the players know that you're there?
Remember what I used to say about David Culley? He was hired so he could get fired. The wave was made so it could go away. It's a fad, and I have no problem with it. I'm not angry. It's not something worth getting angry about, but I understand it, and so people still trying to hold on to the pet rock and planking and ice bucket challenges and streaking and all these other fads.
It's got more shelf life than all those things combined.
No, it does not.
It's been going since 81 or whatever it is. Since 81.
I just something sticks in my mind that it was the Detroit Tigers that started the wave. I'm going to have to look that up.
Should still be going. It's going on at European soccer. They get crunk with the wave.
Because they do it right.
But we're too cool for it here for whatever reason. I just don't understand. I don't understand where the wave became like this polarizing thing. But the Adam Spillanes, John Lopez's, and Sean Pendergast of the world just hate the wave.
I'm looking at fads since 1984.
Okay.
They all end up dying.
Well, this isn't a fad.
It's a fad.
It's here to stay.
Remember Transformers?
People are trying to kill it. It's still alive. They still have Transformers movies, don't they?
Yeah, but the Transformers are gone.
The guy at the elevator today, by the way, the new security guy, cool dude, he tried to sell me on Top Gun. I never saw the first. I don't need to see the second.
Top Gun is really good.
I'm good. And
I'm not trying to just be contrary.
I'm good.
It's really, really good.
I'm good.
You should watch the first one for sure, hopefully both, and the new one's coming out.
It's out.
Yeah.
Guy went and saw it yesterday. He was trying to sell me on it at the elevator. I said, hey, congratulations, sir. I'm not into it, but yeah, like me some old school movies.
You really need to expand your boundaries, expand your horizons.
I don't need to see Tom Cruise flying a plane.
Remember Pogs?
Screaming around. I have Pogs at home as we speak.
You still play with them?
And stuff. Every once in a while, I'll play with them.
You do?
Yeah, they're cool. No one has Pogs. Yeah, it's badass.
But it was a fad that died. It was cool.
It was an introduction to gambling.
Remember the Macarena?
Macarena?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to say it right there, John. Oh,
Macarena.
Yeah, you of all people should be saying Macarena. Right?
What is Tamagotchi?
Tamagotchi? No idea.
I don't know, but it was a fad in 1997. Furby?
Furby was great.
98.
Furby was nice.
Yeah.
Tickle Me Elmo.
Remember Heelys?
No.
Those tennis shoes with the...
Those were after my time.
That was 2000.
L.A. Lights. I remember L.A. Lights as a kid.
Yeah.
The shoes that would light up. Those
L.A.
were off
Gear.
The hook. Remember those L.A. Lights, though? Those were
Remember
nice.
Flash Mobs?
Hey, why don't they have... I never got into that.
But there was a fad. No. It was 2003. Flash Mobs was the hit, and they died.
Why don't they make L.A. Lights anymore?
I have no idea, because those were cool.
Those were sick.
Yeah, those were really cool.
I don't know why those went away.
iPod Nano?
Yeah.
Dead.
The iPod is dead. They stopped it.
Yeah, well, dead. That's still dead. Snuggles? 2008?
What's that?
The blanket where you have your arms in it.
Snuggie.
Snuggies. Oh, Snuggies. Yeah, I misread that. So, yeah, that's the way.
Snuggie's still alive. Yeah, people use Snuggies.
It's not what it was. Nice. It's like the wave. It's just people are trying too hard.
Wave's been going long enough. I think people are trying too hard to hate on it. 713-572-4610. If you want to get in, everybody just hates the wave. Michael Beckman, of all people, a lover of everything, texting in earlier that he hates the wave. The 281 on the text line loves Pogs. Pogs are nice, man.
My kids love those things.
Someone says Heelys are still going strong. For the
kids. I don't know about strong.
Tamagotchi was a digital pet. 832 Landry, I was the same way. Finally watched it a couple of weeks ago. The original. Now I do want to see the sequel.
Yeah, it's really good.
I'm good on Top Gun. I don't like Tom Cruise.
No,
I really
that's
don't.
Fine.
He's a weirdo to me. I mean, I can usually separate art from
artist. That's artists. What I'm saying. That shouldn't matter.
His level of weirdness, I can't.
He's a weird cat.
Yeah, I can't watch a Tom Cruise movie anymore. He's too weird. There's a line in the sand. The line in the sand is Tom Cruise. I don't need to watch.
There's
any of
his lot
movies.
Of weird ones out there.
A lot of weird ones. I can deal with a Will Smith. I can deal with a lot of things. Some musicians I won't even mention by name because I don't want to get myself in trouble. But Tom Cruise, too weird for me to watch. And I don't need to see him flying planes and acting like he's about to die. Spoiler alert, the best friend probably dies. It's like a dramatic scene, blah, 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 blah. Like, come on. It's always like the best friend that dies in the plane movie. Like, what was that, Apollo 13 or whatever that was? Mm-hmm. Not Apollo 13, Armageddon.
Oh, of course, now you did it.
Of course the old guy's going to die. Okay. It's never the actual guy himself in, like, the action movie. It's his buddy, his
well,
best friend.
Well, you think?
Yeah.
That's why it's a movie and he's a hero. I'm
supposed to believe
Tom You want
Cruise.
All the heroes to die?
Tom Cruise is just flying. I mean, it would be nice for a hero to die every once in a while. Just so that these movies weren't so damn predictable.
That's why they're movies.
Like, they should have let Mufasa die first, seen The Lion King. Then let's see what happens.
Good gravy.
Coming up, Stanford Routes weekly visit on the Flying Fish Restaurant Hotline. Laramie Tunsil, a no-show at voluntary workouts. What's the mindset in the locker room when one of the leaders no-shows voluntary workouts? We'll talk to Stan next.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Live from the American Heart Association Paul Bear Bryant Awards Champions Luncheon, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, we'll talk to Stanford Rout shortly here on In the Loop, Sports Radio 610, for his weekly visit. I want to hear what he has to say about, you know, guys no-showing during voluntary workouts.
Yeah.
I got a feeling he's going to tell a story about when he decided not to. And I'm not sure that's the biggest endorsement for Laramie Tunsil, because he admittedly was kind of throwing a fit and being a little bit rebellious, if I'm not mistaken. So, I don't know. Laramie Tunsil is a good football player. Laramie Tunsil is a smart, smart, smart dude. And I think in a perfect world, you would like Laramie Tunsil to be at these voluntary workouts. I know Lovie Smith would, and he pretty much said as much yesterday. But we'll see what happens. We'll definitely see Laremy Tunsil when training camp comes around. And it seems like the rest of the offensive line is shaping up. John McClain was on with Seth Payne and Wade Smith earlier today, and he was talking about Davis Mills and how much different Davis Mills looks yesterday compared to what he looked like a year ago. Said it's night and day. We remember the worst practice that we've ever witnessed, Davis Mills last year. And McClain appears to be impressed by what he saw from Davis Mills. Again, it's early. And John seems kind of horny for like positivity lately. So I'll take it with a grain of salt when McClain says something like that. I'll have to see it with my own eyes, but he seemed impressed.
I mean, I wasn't out there. Neither were you, because it was happening during our show. But he wasn't alone on that. I'm going to defend John a little bit on that. But
he does seem horny for some positivity, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, my point was going to be, I mean, how hard is it right now? I mean, who's having a bad training camp outside of Jeff Driscoll? I mean, a bad OTAs. Figgy was watching Driscoll and was unimpressed. But Jeff Driscoll is at the bottom of the totem pole. Deshaun Watson is on the field right now, throwing long balls like crazy. Cool. I mean, we've seen it before. I miss it, but it doesn't really mean a whole lot. Other than that, I'm just glad that he's further along than he was a year ago, which would make sense.
Well, I would hope so.
Yeah, well, okay.
Would you watch that?
Which would make sense. But it is also a positive. It is also like, okay, so no excuses now. You know, it's your team. The guys have talked about his leadership. He's got some receivers.
He's got leadership. Does he have leadership? I haven't heard anything
Who
about
was it?
Leadership.
Yeah, somebody, one of the availabilities talked about he's been a really, I don't think it was Brandon Cooks. I forget who it was. Like he's just really come in and showed some leadership. Like I was, who was it? But anyway, so, you know, it's a great starting.
Kenny Britt? I mean, Britt?
Might have been. But either way, so now we're going to find out. You know, there's no learning curve other than you're in your second year, but no learning curve like the system and like NFL life and having a bad day. He can't afford to have bad days anymore. Just can't.
I think he can. Like, what are they going to do, put Kyle Allen in?
No, I'm talking about like in practices, in camps, and all that stuff. Like,
what's the consequence?
Well, the consequence is last year when you and I were there for that practice and others, it wasn't just that one under the lights. That was the worst one. But he was having some bad moments. We're like, well, whatever. Let's see how it goes. There's no more let's see how it goes. Yeah, he's going to be the guy, but you're going everything that he does on the negative scale now, on the negative side now, is going to kind of go into the bank like, ooh, you know, I don't know if this guy's going to be the guy or not. He had the benefit of the doubt last year.
Pep Hamilton seems to be the name that, you know, keeps coming up. And I don't know how people know what a Pep Hamilton offense looks like. And I think there's a big difference between being a quarterback coach and being an offensive coordinator. And I think Davis Mills last year, what he did surpassed anyone's expectations. I know it surpassed mine.
Not mine too.
Surpassed yours. I think even the optimist, there were some encouraging things from Davis Mills. And Pep Hamilton deserves a lot of credit for that because he's a quarterback coach and he's there. But there's a big, 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 big difference between being an offensive coordinator and a quarterback coach. Same thing we were talking about with Luke Fickell earlier today. Like mm-hmm. Mike Vrabel, not great as a coordinator here. And there were some injuries, but not great. But he's done a great job as a head coach. Mike Tomlin, like, really, like, he's done an excellent job as a head coach in a short time. Might be the victim of his own success, quite honestly, because they overachieved last year, in my opinion. But there's a big difference between being a quarterback coach with Justin Herbert or Davis Mills or Andrew Luck and calling plays. And I'm not saying he hasn't done it before. I'm not saying it's going to be worse than what Bill O'Brien and Tim Kelly did, because I think those guys' scheme was awful.
Yeah.
But there's a big difference, and I just don't know how anyone knows like what a Pep Hamilton offense is. And the more I hear it, like I'm optimistic about Pep because I think Pep's in an interesting point in his career where he's coaching his son, and it seems like he's truly enjoying like the art of coaching, and he's coming off the Davis Mills season. But he says that he wants to run the ball, and he says he wants to involve tight ends. That's what he says. Now, take it with a grain of salt. And maybe he's just such a good offensive mind that he can maximize it. But if you laid out the Texans' units on offense and you laid out the offensive line, the receivers, the running backs, and the tight ends, they did a good job with the offensive line. I think they did a very good job of upgrading the offensive line, especially when you consider that Tunsil's going to be back. They did a good job at receiver, I think naturally because Nico Collins is coming in and they added Mechie. But at running back and tight end, two of the biggest disappointments of last year, they really did virtually nothing at tight end. They're running it back with the same guys at tight end. And at running back, you basically replaced Mark Ingram with Marlon Mack, and you're bringing in Pierce, and we don't really know what Pierce is. So the two things that he says he values the most, I would argue that they've done that they've improved on paper, that they've improved the least.
I agree. The running back room, and we touched on this yesterday, is just not, I don't know if it's any better, if it's not worse than last year. And they brought in Darryl Daniels, I guess yesterday or day before. They're throwing everything they can at the tight end position.
Yeah.
They're just trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's going to get done.
And they're bringing back guys that are already there. Speaking of which, a tight end, I guess a friend of the show, the water polo tight end, found a new
home. How about that?
Which is an excuse to play water polo guy versus John Lopez in the 1 o'clock hour. So we'll do that when we go around the NFL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.
Let's go to the Flying Fish Restaurant Hotline. Let's talk to our guy, Stan the Man, Stanford Route, a.k.a. Mr. Instagram, a.k.a. Mr. Expensive Carry-On, a.k.a. Always Fresh, a.k.a. Can I get some extra seasoning and Worcestershire sauce or whatever with my steak? Stan, how you doing, my friend?
Landry, it's Worcestershire sauce. That's what it's called, Landry. Okay. It's Worcestershire sauce. And number two, Landry, I'm not Mr. Instagram. Like, come on now. Come on.
Well, I'm just saying you do a good job on there. I'm not saying you live on there, Stan. I'm just saying you flex on the gram. You've been known to do that every once in a while.
I may or may not like to chronicle a certain outfit that I may feel is up to par with what a lot of people deem as fashionable. I may or may not do that every once in a while.
Yeah, you do a good job at it. Stanford Route on the Flying Fish Restaurant Hotline. How do players look at it when one of the veterans, one of the leaders, is not at a, quote, voluntary workout like Laremy Tunsil was yesterday?
Oh, well, it really just kind of depends on what caliber of veteran that is. I remember back when I was in Oakland, I remember once he became – Pro Bowler, All-Pro, arguably best corner in the league, Namdi really didn't come to off-season workouts as often. And I remember our D coordinator, John Marshall, calling me into his office right when he got there back in the 2010 season, going into the 2010 season, and he asked me how I felt about it. I told him, like, we really don't care in the locker room. And it's simply because whenever you're somebody who's playing at a Pro Bowl level, All-Pro, whatever you want to call it, and you are not there to run and lift, who gives a damn? And as long as you continue to play at that high of a level, nobody's going to care. Obviously, you'll have certain people in the media, oh, my God, you got to be there to create team chemistry, blah, 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 blah. Players don't give a rat's you-know-what about that. They don't.
All right.
As long as you ball.
What about someone like Laremy Tunsil, who really – didn't play at the end of the season for any number of reasons that you can think of, but had this reputation of, like, I guess he's out. All of a sudden he's back, and he doesn't show up at OTAs. Does that make a difference?
Well, like I said before, Laramie Tunsil has been to the Pro Bowl a couple of times. That's why he got that record-setting contract back in the Bill O'Brien administration for the Houston Texans. So as long as you're playing at a high level, your teammates will not care. Now, once it starts to slip, that's when everybody's going to be like, oh, well, you should have came to OTAs. You should have came to minicamp, things like that. But as long as you're playing at a high level, as long as you're out there doing your job, as long as you're not out there giving up sacks off the blind side to the quarterback, things like that, nobody is really going to give you much flack about it. There will be some people that are going to go ahead, they're going to bloviate about team chemistry, and you need to be there to go ahead and gel with the guys and be a cohesive unit and things like that. But ultimately, at the end of the day, we all know in this league, it all comes down to can you play or can you not play? And if you're able to play at a high level, you will see a lot of things. You will see a lot of actions. I mean, heck, look at some of the quarterbacks in this league. I'm not going to say any names. You will see their actions being forgiven because it's all about can you play, can you ball?
What if it's the coach that kind of voices his displeasure? How much does it matter if it's the coach?
Well, I mean, that's always. Coaches are control freaks. I mean, I'm a high school coach right now, and I'm a little bit of a control freak. So coaches, they simply want you there. That way they can literally see you with their own two eyes. They can come up. They can kind of squeeze your arm. They can see if you've been working out, things like that. They want to know that you are here, that you are here right in front of them. That way they feel like they're in control of the situation. If you were all training in God knows where, yeah, you're training, but they don't know that for a fact. They're not positive. But whenever you're there, they can visibly see you. It's tangible. It's all of that. So for coaches, yes, they're going to always want you to be there. Just like Matt LaFleur up there in Green Bay. Matt LaFleur wants Aaron Rodgers to be there. But Matt LaFleur also knows, man, this guy's won the MVP award the last two seasons. So clearly he doesn't exactly need OTAs. He doesn't need to be up here running and lifting. But coaches are control freaks. So just by default, they're going to want you there just that way. Their eyes can be put to rest, or should I say put at ease with their apprehension. So coaches are going to always push back and want players there. They're going to always do that, but they can't say much because it's what, J-Lo? Voluntary.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's voluntary.
What the hell is Coach Stanford Rout trying to control? What are you controlling?
Okay, Landry, it's a good thing I'm not in the studio. I jump across the table. I might hit you in the mouth. But my point, what I'm trying to make is coaches are control freaks. Coaches want their plays ran what? A certain way, the way that they call it. They want practice to be ran with a certain type of format, the way that they've mapped it out, things like that. So just in nature, coaches are control freaks. They want everything to go exactly how they have it envisioned in their mind. And coaches are going to always want you there. That way they can see you. Because if somebody was to ask them, the owner to ask, okay, how's Stanford Rout doing? Oh, well, you know, he's working out in Texas. So that's, you know, all I know so far, Mr. Davis. Okay, well, wait a minute. Are you sure he's working out? Did he just say he was working out? But if you're there, it's like, oh, no, he's working out. I saw him this morning. He came in about 3 pounds under the same weight that he came in to start off the off-season program. So he's doing real well now, has 6% body fat. So it's a much easier depiction if I can see you with my own two eyes.
So we were just talking about this, and I'm curious on your opinion. Davis Mills, you know, it's OTAs, you know, for what that's worth, has put the ball in the right spots, has looked pretty decent by a lot of accounts, including our own John McClain. And I was telling Landry, I said, you know, there's no more wiggle room. There's no more benefit of the doubt with Davis Mills, even though he's just in his second year and he's still, you know, learning. Because you're the starting quarterback, everything's going to be dissected more. Would you agree with that?
No doubt about it. You're the starting quarterback, so everything's going to be dissected. And the one gift and curse about the offseason or OTAs is there's nothing you can do to actually win in OTAs in the offseason. Because guess what? If he does well in practice, oh, it's just OTAs. Nobody cares. You're going against your own defense. But if he does bad, J-Lo, and especially you, Landry, because I know how you are, y'all going to rip him to shreds talking about this guy can't even do well in the offseason. So who's to say that he can do well against any team in the AFC South or the AFC or, you know, things like that? So it's pretty much a lose-lose situation for Davis Mills until you get to the start of the regular season, and then that's when he can go ahead and shut up a lot of naysayers. And I, for one, am rooting for him because of the school that he went to.
Stanford?
Stanford. Oh, because your name's Stanford?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know the name,
that's
Landry.
A good one,
you know
Stanford.
The name. Landry? Okay. Hey, Landry, yeah. Landry, don't do it. Yeah. Landry, don't do it. Yeah. Don't do it, Landry. Don't do it. It's not my fault that UT sucks. It's not my fault.
I love Tillman Fertitta because he owns Landry's restaurants. You know? Oh, yeah, I'm rooting for him. Good Lord, Stanford.
Okay. Nice try, Landry. Nice try. That's almost as lame as your jump shot.
Stanford Rout with us on the Flying Fish Restaurant Hotline here on Inland Sports Radio 16. Can promise you he ain't got no jump shot. Guaranteed that.
Okay, Landry. You and me, one-on-one. Landry, anytime you want for any wager you want.
There you go.
I'll wear slides. Honestly,
oh my gosh!
Put my shoes on. Honestly, Stan, what do you make of this NIL stuff? We typically focus on the pro football, but the NIL has come out. We actually had Luke Fickell on earlier today, live out here at the Bear Bryant American Heart Association luncheon, and it seems like we focus on the bad of NIL. But for a team like Cincinnati and a coach like Lou Fickell and even a program like U of H, it seems like they could maybe take advantage of it and, you know, get guys that aren't focused on that, and they can even, like, pick from the three stars and develop them even more. What's your thoughts on NIL?
I mean, yeah. I mean, to your point, U of H, you know, schools like that, they can go ahead and benefit from it, but nonetheless, you still are not going to be able to outbid. You're still not going to be able to maintain pace with the Power Five schools, the Ohio States, the University of Texas, the Floridas, the USCs, just for the simple fact of they have a much larger booster foundation. They just get more money generated into the school because of the Power Five conference that they play in. So essentially, you're just not going to be able to keep up with them. But to your point, I like what you're saying. Yes, U of H can benefit from it now. To the original question of my take on the NIL, it's so many tentacles and so many layers to it. Number one, I do not believe you should have student athletes out there generating revenue, whether it's basketball, football, whatever, for a school, so the coaches can be richer than their wildest imaginations, and then those same kids are going back to the dorms struggling to eat dinner later on after that game. That's one thing that I'm a firm believer on. So players and student athletes in college sports, yes, they should be receiving some sort of compensation and from a monetary standpoint, not just, oh, you know, you got your school and, you know, your room and board paid for. They should be receiving something. Now, I do also think that you're opening up Pandora's box because not everybody is going to be able to get these NIL deals. You're going to only the top players, the guys like that. Now, and J-Lo's going to feel me on what I'm about to say.
Mm-hmm.
I remember about 3 weeks ago, I actually heard about some crazy deal going on down there in Austin with some running back by the name of Bijan Robinson.
Oh, Lambo. Yeah. He got a Lambo deal.
And
he got a Lambo deal, man.
And the fact that a college kid, because it's a NIL deal with Lamborghini Austin, I assume that he actually has a Lambo out of the deal.
Oh, he does.
So, and with that being said, for a college kid, he's what, 19, 20, something like that. He's going to be a first-round pick. We all know that. For a college kid to be riding around in the streets of Austin, Texas, in a Lambo, and oh my God, please don't tell me that it's an Aventador, because that's the top of the line Lambo. But just the sheer imagery of that, oh my God, I was in college about 20 years earlier than I should have been. Because,
hey, it's a character builder, man. It's character. You know what it is? It's a character revealer.
Let me tell you guys this. J-Lo and Landry, I know you're going to agree to this, Landry. The good Lord knew what he was doing.
Oh, God.
Not having me be in college at this time, because I'm going to be riding around the streets of Houston, Texas, Austin, Texas, wherever, in a Lambo. Oh, my God, I may not even make it to practice.
He's still fantasizing about going to Texas. Like, I mean, goodness gracious. Oh, you had to say Austin, man. Too. Goodness
Landry,
gracious.
Landry, I've already come to terms with that. I've already seeked therapy for that. I'm at peace with the fact that the burnt orange was not in my future as
it
a young
out
high
for
school
you.
Football player. Yes,
it
absolutely it did. You. And I mean, my gosh, like, is UT, do players even get drafted out of there anymore?
They don't. They don't. Spoiler alert, they don't. Stan, appreciate you, my friend.
Man, you guys be good. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, man.
Sanford Brout here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. Coming up, the water polo tight end has a home. An excuse to hear one of the best battles in the history of this show. J-Lo.
Yes, sir.
Versus water polo guy. Round the league next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.